So we're going to advance now, are we, item 7. Fine. All right, thank you. What I'd like to do now is, if I may, move on to item 7, bring forward item 7, which is looking at this whole issue of the need to establish a new task force on water-land interface. We've all felt for some time, I think, that what happens on the land and what happens on the water are equally important, and we need to look at the harbour in a holistic way. We need to look at providing on the land for what happens on the water and vice versa, and we need obviously to look closely at recreational activity on the water and also commercial activities on the water and what needs to be on land and what needs to be on the waterfront. So we see, certainly I see, and I think others see this as a very important element, if you like, of the infrastructure going forward. You have a paper in front of you which sets out the terms of reference the way we would like to take things forward. The suggestion is the task force would run initially for a year whilst we, if you like, sense the need for the task force on an ongoing basis, but certainly there's a lot for it to get its teeth into initially. Do members maybe we should probably start and do this in some degree of order. If my suggestion will be that we start, if you like, with the terms of reference, in that those we've tried to draft quite carefully, but again, members may have thoughts in reaction to the terms of reference. As you see, the recommendation is to set up the task force. We need to approve the terms of reference, and then we need to agree the modus operandi. But I think the key to this going forward, obviously, is the terms of reference, which are set out on page 2 of the paper. As you see, the intention is to look at things, as I say, in a holistic way, looking at this interface between land and water, and making sure that we provide on land for what happens on the water and vice versa. We felt that this sort of issue was better dealt with, if you like, by a single task force rather than the individual task forces, because we need, A, to ensure consistency, but also I think we need a harbour-wide solution, I think, for these issues. So it wasn't appropriate, if you like, to delegate these particular functions to the individual task forces. What do members feel? I know, Roger, you have some views on this. Thank you.
Well, perhaps just to expound a little bit, that I think it was felt that this task force would actually also include a number of representatives from the harbour users, which isn't the case with the other task forces. And so, you know, that would enable them perhaps to resolve some of the issues that may arise when we're dealing with, for instance, the water taxes coming up and other related issues which are very much something that harbour users are very interested in. And that's why we're talking about water-dependent harbourfront sites.
Thank you. Yeah, I think Roger made a very good point. We tend to think about recreational activity on the water, but we sometimes, I think, forget, but we don't give adequate weight, if you like, to all the commercial activities that are happening around the harbour, and we need, obviously, to cater for those in any solutions we come up with, particularly when we come up with what I hope will be a strategic plan, ultimately, for the whole of the waterfront. Members, any comments on the terms of reference? They're pretty comprehensive. Again, it's a question of learning by experience. I think we all give things a run, and obviously we can review if we find that the terms of reference need further refinement, but they're pretty extensive at the moment. Okay, sorry, please.
Chairman, if I may add a point on the question of overlapping terms of reference with the other three existing geographic task force. This is a comment raised by Vincent, if I recall, at the fifth meeting, and we have studied this issue. We have covered this in paragraph 6 of our paper. Basically, we find that it is a genuine issue. There will be overlapping because the existing three task forces are geographically based, and this new task force, the fourth task force, look at the waterland interface situation overall. And our suggestion here is a pragmatic one. We recognize that the three geographical task forces are actually looking at specific proposals already. For example, the Kaitan Task Force has looked at how to introduce different kinds of marine activities, waterland interface activities, using the Kaitan area as well as Kuntong Promenade Land, the permanent phase. And departments are already working on it, following issues up. So our suggestion is for geographically based proposals. Task Force has been looking at it. Departments as well as private companies have been consulting these task forces, or they understand that it is a practice, a good practice to consult these task forces. We suggest that these remain.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when we look at the proposed terms of reference of this new task force, we try to suggest that they look at the more holistic plan, formulation of a holistic plan for the harbour as a whole. So we try to say that there is an overlapping issue, and this may come up when the task force and the new task force work, but let's deal with it in a pragmatic way. So that's our suggestion.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes practical sense. As you say, geographic proposals should come to the task forces. Yeah, I think that makes sense. All right, may I take it then that you're generally happy with the terms of reference. Membership, as usual, we're looking for volunteers, as I look around the room. All members are encouraged, if I may say so, not just interested, are encouraged to join. I think it could be a very interesting task force on which to serve, quite frankly, particularly when we start looking at leisure activities, water transportation, some of the things that we're very keen to promote in Hong Kong, but we haven't yet got our head around. So I think it could be a very interesting exercise. So could I suggest that members perhaps volunteer through Chris? You're welcome to put your hand up now, but I mean, I think Chris, if you can ring round or just make sure, get names from those who would like to volunteer. Winston, sorry, please. Yeah.
May I voice a common problem? In my office, the papers relating to our work is now higher than this desk. In 1 year, we've covered quite a lot of work.
Right.
And we are finding ourselves short-handed. Now, we have 4 meetings, the 3 task forces and this general meeting. We can't present ourselves to all 4. That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very kind if, as a matter of policy, you would allow an organization like ours, we work for free, we're all with a lot of volunteers, that we could allocate 1 person on each of these 4 meetings. It will help immensely. Right now, you only permit 2. And with this new task force, we just don't know whom we could spare to sit
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we allow 1, then we can send a person specifically to be on that task force who knows what's going on all the time. Does that make sense to other members? So I'm sure you have the same problems with your institutes.
All right. I mean, I hear you, Winston, and I think it's just a common problem. We're all very busy. Why don't we look at the topic of alternates? Because this is all about alternates, isn't it? And see to the extent we might widen the scope of nominating alternates to, instead of 1, maybe 2. Yeah, I mean, I think having 4 different personalities on 4 different task forces, I think we're going to get, you know, one of the things we're looking for is consistency in terms of decision making and review. And I think if we have 4 different personalities, I can see it getting a bit cumbersome. But certainly delegating to 2, I would have thought was acceptable. But can we?
Might be a very sensible solution.
Can we take that forward? Thank you. Thank you. Chris, please. Sorry.
Chairman, thanks. I would like to raise an issue is that in our house rules, we have states clearly that only one alternate members can represent an organization. So if we're going to take forward Winston's proposal, maybe we have to amend slightly the house rules to adapt for such a situation. For your kind reminder, please.
I think that's what I'm suggesting. But let us just think about the implications. But I think one to two would be, I think, within the realms of tolerance, if you like, particularly if we have four task forces now.
Yeah. Chairman, just a knock-off remark. The situation is even worse for us as a appointment on personal capacity.
The appointment of alternates applies only to organisations, or does it apply to individuals? Please, Gracie.
I think what Vincent raised is actually a general issue about workload.
Mm-hmm.
And we recognise that, and I immediately talking to Lily saying that it is even more taxing on individual members. And therefore, when we consider the setting up of the fourth task force, we actually taken a look at how institution members and individual members join the existing task force. We appreciate your strong support. But then we also start to see that even institutional members cannot send members to all three existing geographical task force already, not to mention individual members. So I think maybe after this meeting, we can take a look at how members respond to this new task force, and institutional members may also send us further comments on how you think we may help you manage the workload, whether the suggestion to have another alternate member will help out. But that will not help individual members. But then without the support of individual members to the fourth task force, it will be difficult as well.
But to be fair, I mean, task force is voluntary, isn't it? Gracie? To be fair, task force is voluntary. It's not...
Yes.
I mean, obviously we expect or we like everybody to attend the commission meetings, but task force is a question of time and commitment. Yeah. Peter?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to make sort of one comment, I think. I mean, recreational opportunities are very important. So I take everything Roger says, of course, about the working harbour. And promoting branding is also important. I mean, this is essentially what we should be moving towards in terms of the harbour strategy. Without this positive land-water interface, we really don't, or at least very unlikely to achieve, you know, landmark uses around the harbour, because any future land-water interface is going to give us our enclosed water bodies, our marinas, our maritime museums, all these sort of things that do have problems attached to them. Whilst I fully support the idea of looking at this in great detail, I hope we're not making a little bit of a rod for our own back. You know, as yet, we don't have a strategy. We do have task forces that are actually looking at these issues amongst others, but we also don't want to be sort of led into a situation where the sheer practicalities, and we have to say, you know, the idea of reclamation of seawalls or boardwalks, these are all actually quite essential components of land-water interface in terms of actually, you know, developing features around the harbour. I'm just flagging up a situation where we might be going around in circles. You know, we do need some idea of a strategic approach, I think, before we can get to resolving this issue logically.
I think, quite frankly, a lot of things you've just described would be dealt by the geographic as they are at present. It's only when we get a master plan type approach, when we're looking at water transportation across around the whole harbour, when we look at recreation around the whole harbour, that this task force would actually come to grips with it. But can we try and see how we go? All right.
I suppose what I'm also saying is that there has been a suggestion that interested parties are represented on the task force. And I suppose what I'm saying is that's all well and good. I mean, interested parties can make representation, but we have got to make sure that the, you know, we're not coming into conflict. If demand isn't being met by the actual possibilities. I mean, what I suppose what I'm saying really is that, you know, there are practical difficulties here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't just making decisions. It's actually trying to understand what the problems are and how to overcome them in the first place. And I think, you know, a lot of Winston's comments really relate to that. They're points of principle. If those points of principle are resolved, we can do almost anything. So, you know, it's a matter of knowing what we're working towards and what sort of tools we have to do the job.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Winston, please. Thank you.
I thank Peter for bringing out a very good point. I had some problems with your suggestion just now. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. The interested parties should sit on the task force. I think Peter has made the point very clear now. The value and credibility of our meetings is that we're acting in the public interest. Once you bring private interest into it, we lose credibility. And especially in the case where the harbour, by law, is now a special public asset. So we are here, and our task force is also working in the public interest. If you bring in interested parties from the private sector, there would therefore be a fundamental conflict of interest, which is not a wise thing. So I share Peter's view. They may come in and make representations and presentations, but on the level of the membership of the task force, it should be seen as to be quite independent of any private interest.
Roger, you might like to just outline some of the candidates, if you like, for possible membership. Yeah. Thank you.
thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Winston. Very good point. Perhaps we haven't explained the issue of the special representation. I suppose what we're really talking about, and this is why this task force is a holistic task force, it's not geographic in nature, because in a way, the way that the Harbourfront Commission has been developing its view on the harbour from the high level, you know, we talked about the low level, detail, and then the high level, is because harbour activities are invariably spread throughout. It becomes one community, as it were. And for this task force, we would have representatives of that harbour community. So that would include, for instance, those who go yachting through the Yachting Association. They're users of the harbour, but they're a part of the community on the harbour. But not for individual representation, no. And the same for the Cargo Vessel Traders Association, the Motorboat and Tugboat Association. So that's all we're looking at, and we haven't, of course, made any decisions because it's a decision of this commission, who are indeed representatives. But what we were trying to look at was how do we get the harbour community, the harbour users community, and of course the public themselves are harbour users. Everybody who goes on a ferry is a harbour user. So, you know, but they are represented here.
Mm-hmm.
Transport Department is a representative on this commission. So we just wanted to have an opportunity to fill that gap. Thank you.
Could I quickly respond?
Please, Wilson.
I've been sitting on various bodies, and there's a separation. In an advisory capacity, everyone's advice and information is welcome. So those people interested in the harbour are welcome to make representations, to give their advice to us and their wisdom and so on. But if it is seen as a body as ours, advising the government on what to do with the harbour, carrying with it some sort of decision-making process, I think it would be quite dangerous to have interested parties actually on the task force. There's a line there. I quite agree we should get information and advice and contact from them, but I would not feel comfortable if I were sitting next door to someone who is got a personal interest in the subject matter that we're discussing, even if it means cruise center or marina or something like that. That's anyway. I don't feel comfortable. I see that we need to be quite careful.
Even through a professional association, you'd be uncomfortable?
No, that's fine. We're here to advise the government. All of us, I think, are in a quite an independent capacity. For example, our society is only interested in what is public good from the harbour's point of view. So there's no private interest. But if I were very close to, let's say, Rita, I hope Rita's not represented here. It would not be a good idea for Rita to be here.
Rita is represented.
I'm sorry. All right, I trust your independence.
Okay.
But I mean, Rita itself is a member. Well, I stand corrected.
I tell you what I think we should do, membership is obviously going to be important and clearly there are concerns about membership. I think we need to take away two things. One is how we deal with membership from within the commission, if you like, and how we perhaps adopt a more flexible approach. But then obviously if there are intentions to co-opt members from associations outside the present membership, then perhaps we should come to you with a list and at least get you to endorse that list before we proceed.
Yes.
All right. Fine. Peter, sorry. Yes, thank you.
I agree with Winston, actually, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little bit uneasy. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, we've met a problem with the definition of community right from the very start. We're all supposed to be representing the community, and if private interests start to prevail, I can see problems on the horizon, really. Okay. And that private interests can always come to the various task forces and make representation.
Yeah, I don't think it is the intention. I'm sure it's not the intention to have private interests represented. We do it through organisations and associations. But let us come to you with a list, and then you can... Cookie, please, sorry.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry that I'm representing Rita. And I think Rita is also a community. We call ourselves a development community. We also have passion to build up a vibrant and lively harbourfront. We basically provide the shelter for living, working, giving leisure to the community. I think we also understand the corporate responsibility of building up Hong Kong's image as a waterfront city. It's nothing to do with private interests. It's the public interest. We would like to build Hong Kong as an international city. I think this is our sort of wish. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
May I say that I hope we will remain friends if I were to tell you that our society's official policy is no high-rise on the harbour front.
I don't think there was any mention of high-rise, was there? Anyway, all right. Okay, two actions at this end of the table. One is to think about how we are more generous on allocating membership, and then we'll come up with a list as well of the co-opted members for your approval. Thank you.